I'm not going to say that. I will tell you. So at the 9 o'clock service, someone's phone went off twice. I normally never say anything, but this time I didn't edit my thought bubble and I said something. And then I realized I am the last person that should say anything. I was at a funeral some years back. I wasn't doing the funeral. I was there. It was a friend of ours that had passed. And someone's phone went off during the funeral. And I was so irritated. I thought, what idiot? And then I realized, man, that's ringing pretty close. And it was right in my jacket pocket. So if your phone goes off, I might say something, but it's not because I've never had it happen to me. I just like saying something. So anyway, you might want to put it on mute or airplane mode or whatever that is. We're doing this series. We've done this for, I'm guessing, 20 years, maybe longer, doing this at the movies. In August, we have three or four weekends where we pick fairly current movies. We are using them kind of like Jesus. Jesus told stories that they're called parables. It was a story to illustrate a truth. And so we're using movies to do that. We are not at all saying that this is what the original writers intended. We're not necessarily endorsing all the movies, although the one today I am strongly endorsing. I'd say if you have kids 7 or up, and again, everyone, you read about it before you decide. Every parent's got different standards and all, but I just think it's a phenomenal movie, but the way it, and I didn't want to start off liking it. I had a friend that's a marriage counselor, family, I've known him for a long time, and he said, this is one of my favorite movies. And I thought, oh, whoa, no, because it's animated. And I just never have been into animated movies. I just never really cared for them. But I knew he'd probably ask me sometime if I'd seen it, so I watched it, just hoping I could get a good nap in. And it's excellent. I've probably seen it 3 or 4 times now. I understand why on Rotten Tomatoes it averaged 97.5% favorable among the critics and the people that came to see it. It was a book. DreamWorks took it and adapted it into a movie. But my main thing is not trying to promote a movie, but what I think we can learn from it and what it illustrates for us as followers of Jesus. There's some critical truths that we need to live by, and it's easy for us to forget. We get caught up in all kind of things, and we can miss what should be priority for us. True followers of Jesus are deployed as God sees best for us. And true followers of Jesus are determined to honor God no matter what. And I can say that, and you can say, oh, that's fine. What else you got to say? But God is not, he doesn't make mistakes. Where you are right now, if you're a follower of Jesus, where you are right now, you have a chance to honor him. Not down the road, maybe one day, but right now, right where you are. And somehow if we're not careful, we lose that, or we say, oh, I'll do it one day when everything's going better, or when I've got more time, or when I'm doing what I really like. The moment you and I become followers of Jesus, we are immediately on his team. We're partners with him in the work he wants done. We're co-workers in a mission that he's given us. And that mission is to help everybody we can to find him. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Reconciliation just means being made right. He's given us this message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And we're going to talk, we have baptism coming up in September. September, maybe early October. We got a promotion about that in a few minutes, but the moment you become a follower of Jesus, you are commissioned by God to be part of his team. There's no waiting period. There's no, well, one day maybe, or just for the special ones. We've been given this assignment to help others understand who Jesus is, why he came, and how we can have this reconciled relationship with God. And no matter where we are, that's what he wants to do in and through us. We can miss it so quickly, and in our culture today, I think a lot of followers of Jesus are living on the defensive, or they're hiding out somewhere. So anyway, this movie, I think it really shows this idea of living deliberately and understanding that where I am deployed, that's where I need to flourish. So I'm going to set up two clips, the first two, and I'll tell you about the first one, and then it's going to stay dark. I'll tell you about the second, we'll show it. The hero of this story, the wild robot, is Rosm Unit 1734. Later is just given the nickname Roz, understandably. Roz has crash-landed on this island, had been sent somewhere else, but things fell apart. But Roz is programmed to serve and lands on this island and never deviates from the mission she's been given. I want you to watch this, and as you're looking at it, we're going to see four clips from the movie. This just shows you kind of how strange it is for Roz and the others around, and it sets the stage for everything else going on. Let's watch this.
Of a Universal Dynamics robot. I am Rosm 7134. A Rosm always completes its task. Just ask. Just ask.
All right, so Roz starts off pretty, not exactly the way they'd hoped, and it gets worse. Roz is the only robot on the island. Everyone's afraid. They're misunderstood. They actually hate. They call Roz the monster, and so Roz is trying to navigate. What do I do here? I'm programmed to serve. I'm not sure what to do, and then finds out that the biggest inhabitant on the island is a bear, and the bear wants to take Roz out. So the bear starts chasing Roz to kill her. And she falls down this cliff, lands on a goose nest, kills the goose, and then this is what happens. Roz didn't intentionally kill the mother goose, but the bear chased fell down the hill, and it happened. And all of a sudden, she discovers this egg, finds out what the egg is, and she ends up becoming the surrogate mother to this baby goose. Later on, is named Bright Bill. Roz doesn't make any excuses. There's no whining. There's no, woe is me. This is not what I planned on. It was just, I've got the resources. I've been given this task to serve. That's what I'm going to do. I think that's something that every one of us need to remind ourselves of. Our job is to serve God's interests and to serve the people around us. We'll look in this in detail as we go along, but true followers of Jesus imitate him. That's why we're called followers. We don't lead Jesus. We follow his lead. And we imitate him even when we're misunderstood and even when we're wronged. Roz is hated. She's feared. She's gossiped about, made fun of, rejected in all kinds of ways, but remains faithful to serving. 1 Peter 2 says this. He goes, there's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve. And I know you're thinking, well, duh. Yeah, but we don't live this way. You're driving down the interstate, and you get pulled over for speeding. You are only going 10 miles over the limit. Everyone else is going 15. Well, that's not fair. Officer, others were going faster than me. The officer would say, were you speeding? That's not what I was saying. Other people are going worse. We do this all the time. We're not willing to even own our own mistakes. But anyway, there's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve. Just take it. Own it. But if you're treated badly for good behavior and continue in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God. Let me read this one again. But if you're treated badly for good behavior and you continue in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God. This is the kind of life you've been invited to, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so that you would know that it could be done and also know how to do it step by step. Jesus was horribly mistreated, but he never quit. He was misunderstood. He didn't quit. You never hear him focusing on my rights, my fairness toward me. You didn't hear him calling whatever the attorneys that advertise all the time to get you your fair share. He didn't do that. His commitment was to honor his Father, and in doing that, he was going to help others find the truth and find hope, regardless of how he was treated. And that's what he's called you and I to do. We follow him. And our world really needs to see something different. It's easy if you get upset to start playing the blame game and to start picking sides and start, you know, us versus them. But as followers of Jesus, that's not what we're called to do. And I love the way this movie illustrates this. This next clip, it really shows something. So Roz is not a goose, but has figured out I've got to take care of this little baby, Brightbill. And Brightbill has got to learn to fly by migration time, because if he doesn't migrate with the rest of the geese, they're going to die. They can't thrive in the weather that's coming. Without any credit, without any applause, with hardly any support, Roz tries to figure out, how do you train a little goose to fly? Winter weather's coming. She understands the stakes. And so she goes to all kind of lengths to treat this baby goose, Brightbill, how to fly. And you can see, she doesn't know anything. She's never flown in her life. But she's committed to it. Remember, she was committed to serve. And in this case, it's going to cost her physically. At the very end part of this clip, you're going to see some spillage on the ground. It's some of the fluid that keeps her going. Let's watch this together and see an example that works.
You really think we can do this?
A rosin always completes its task.
The unfamiliar road could be the same place you get lost and find yourself. There might be bumps, there might be bruises, but at least you'll have a story to tell. Time will slip on by if you're stuck in living life with too much caution.
You just need more speed.
And I know you know that those wings, they were made.
Ready?
I guess they have to be.
Always safe where you are.
I don't know what to say.
Good. What if you look your fears right in the eye? Say you see them another time. What if for once you can find a place for you that you can hide? You can hide. What if you chase your heart? Okay, now! To the edge, rewrite your stars and be brave. I know! Whoa. Ah. I do not know what to do next. Ah.
Ah. Roz?
I'm fine. Go again.
I'm fine. Go again. You see this throughout the movie. And I want to spend a few minutes on this next part. True followers of Jesus are more concerned about pleasing God than anything else. Let me repeat that. We should be more concerned about pleasing God than anything else. 1 Peter 2 says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." I want to pull back on this a bit. It says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." The moment you and I become followers of Jesus, we become citizens of a new kingdom. We still live here. Most of us, United States is our home, but it's our secondary home. We have an allegiance. We're ambassadors. We're ones that represent God's kingdom right where we are. We can understand if someone's an ambassador from our country, they go live somewhere else, but they still abide by our standards, our rules, to represent our country well. You and I, that's what we've been called to do. The moment I become a follower of Jesus, I now am more concerned about pleasing him than anything else. And it goes on to say, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Most of us, if we made a list of worldly desires, it'd be, oh, I don't have to have that brand new car. Or I don't have, you know, we think of materialism, we think of some things like this. But there are other worldly desires that we need to be careful about. Pride, personal justice, fairness, being understood, being respected. If we're not careful, we can make those goals and we can justify them. And then when those don't happen, it causes all kind of problems, starting with us. We're in our Bible study prayer night for tomorrow night. We're talking about forgiveness. And my 12-step friends hear this over and over again, and that is, being unwilling to forgive somebody is like me drinking poison hoping they get sick and die. Unforgiveness eats me up inside. And if I'm not careful, I can have these worldly desires and I hold on to them and I justify them and I feed them and it ends up destroying me. Followers of Jesus operate differently. Throughout this movie, Roz never complains or whines. Temptation would be there, of course, but is more focused on fulfilling her mission. It goes on to say, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. The idea of being careful just means pay attention. Be deliberate, be focused, be purposeful in how you live, knowing that you're being watched constantly. People are gathering data on you, from you and me on what it means to be a Christian, on what Jesus is like. They're hearing us in conversations when we talk about people that aren't there. They hear us in our tone of voice about people. They can pick up nuances of our facial expressions about certain kinds of groups. I need to be careful. We need to be careful and to live properly according to God's understanding around our unbelieving neighbors so they'll get a glimpse of who Jesus is. They get a picture of something good and real. Our honorable behavior includes not just our words, but our actions and our attitudes. Right now in our culture, there's a lot of this that's missing. I see I see things that people that claim to follow Jesus say about other people, and it is disgustingly not Jesus-like. What would Jesus say? How would he respond? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live representing him well. In this final clip, Roz has stayed on the island. Bright Bill did get to go off and migrate, but she stayed, and she stayed during what was becoming the worst winter they've ever had, and almost all of them were going to die. Robots don't freeze to death, but everybody else was in trouble. And it set up this last point in a verse I want to read. It says, true followers of Jesus, we sacrifice our own rights to help others discover the new life Jesus offers. I want you to listen to this next verse. We're to find common ground with everyone, doing everything. Let me read it again. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. Roz is kind, doesn't deviate from that, and sets out to rescue an island that has treated her like a monster and has hated her and maligned her in every way you can imagine. This is what you and I are called to do, whether we get applause or not, to live in a way we might help others discover this relationship with Jesus. In this clip, Fink, who was the fox, and no one likes Fink, you can see his heart changing because of the influence of Roz. It's what you and I have a chance to do. Let's watch this last clip.
Why are you awake?
It is bad out there. Worst storm I've ever seen. Cold got to me in my den, and I got a deep den.
Are others in danger?
Yeah. Oh!
Are you sure about this? We could have the whole island to ourselves come spring.
Why are you interested in eliminating everyone else from this island?
No one likes me?
Nor me. But right now, we are their only chance. Funny how life works.
Okay.
Here.
Can you find more? Mom?
Oh, we're gonna be okay.
What are you doing here, jerk?
Bummer, this one's dead.
That is not funny.
Paddler! Huh? Fine!
Don't give up.
So good.
Is everyone accounted for?
Maybe one more.
Put that down! What the? No! No! Knock it off! You think those grow on trees?
Hmm? Hey!
No! Think only!
Anyone see my lost fuzzballs? Smelly, noisy, prone to biting.
You're all gonna die!
Hey, what's he doing here?
Oh, great. This'll help.
Get out of here! I worked hard on this!
Think. What is happening?
You put a bunch of predators and their food supply in one room.
Who knew?
That's my lunch!
Think.
What?
Help them.
Quiet!
The jerk wants to speak.
Most of you hate me, and I hate most of you. Everyone in here hates someone else. But here we are, and here's the deal. First one that walks out that door is dead, and if we can't keep it together in here, everyone's dead. We all got one chance to see next spring. Because of her. The thing. The monster. Well, her name is Roz. And while you all ran from her, and stole from her, and made fun of her, all she's been trying to do is raise her kid. The little one that no one gave a chance. Including me. She's the one who got you out of the storm, built this place, and despite my suggestion that she let you all freeze, she risked everything to bring you here.
I know you all have instincts that keep you alive, but sometimes, to survive, we must become more than we were programmed to be. Before I shut down, I need you to promise me one thing. A truce. Just while we are in here.
She's right. I will not harm anyone. Not while we're in here.
Every time I see that clip, it reminds me of the church. We've all been sought and pursued by one person. That doesn't give up on us. And we should be different because of that. We should treat each other differently. We should treat people outside differently. We need to have this kind of heart that Jesus did. We are his representatives. We're his plan A, B, and C to get the word out. Some of you are doing well, and some of you have bought into some of the stuff our culture sells that is just horrible. We can be kind. We can be generous. We can be gracious. We need to give people what they need, not what we think they deserve. And when we do, when we build that common ground with our neighbors, lives will be transformed. Not without a cost, but definitely, definitely worth it. Each of us in our spheres of influence have work to do, and we can. The take-home sheet, you can get this outside either the side doors, or you can get it off the app or website. I hope you'll take some time with it and think it through individually and as families. How can I be God's man or woman in my sphere of influence? Some of you might want to see the movie. It's really, I think it's great. I think it illustrates some important things. But at the end of the day, our marching orders don't come from Hollywood. They come from our Savior and our leader. Let's make him proud. Let's pray. God, those of us that know you, remind us to act that way. And to go out of our way to serve and to be kind, even to those that we're certain don't deserve it. But help us to remember that's how you treated us. We did not get what we deserved. We got what we needed, and that was your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that you would help them to see that there is this great gracious, amazing God that has only our best interests at heart, and following him, best decision we could ever make. In Christ's name, amen.